Well, from Brussels to London now, and the tears fell slowly down the Chancellor of the Exchequer's face, caught on camera in a stormy House of Commons session yesterday, as Labour Prime Minister Keir Starmer only managed lukewarm support for the embattled Rachel Reeves after the Labour government had to U-turn on planned welfare cuts. All cat on camera, as I say, and it sent the bond markets and sterling into a spin. Keir Starmer insisted the reason Rachel Reeves was upset was personal, not political.
You know, she's made it clear it's a personal matter. And I'm not going to go into the personal matter of a colleague. She's done a fantastic job.
And here's what former First Minister of Northern Ireland, Arlene Foster, had to say on Newsnight last night.
Well, you know, we don't know the full story behind this, and I've heard different versions of, yes, she's had an argument with the Speaker, and I cannot believe that someone of Rachel Reeves' long standing in politics would cry at that. I think there's something else.
Yeah, and I
think maybe it's something much more serious than just an altercation with the Speaker.
George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times, is on the line. And your headline in the Financial Times this morning, George, one of the more sober ones around after yesterday's remarkable scenes. Gilts and pounds slump after Reeves' tears trigger fears for fiscal vigilance. Unravel what happened.
Well, it was one of the most dramatic episodes of Prime Minister's Question Time I can remember. It was the usual knockabout between the leader of the opposition, Cammy Badenoch, and Keir Starmer. And then suddenly, watching from the gallery, you realise that not only did the Chancellor look exhausted, which she did, huge bags under her eyes, but suddenly tears started to roll down her cheeks. And it was a painful thing to watch. I don't think Keir Starmer was quite aware of what was going on, but certainly in the fact that he failed to offer a wholehearted display of confidence at that session caused concern and seemed to make things worse, and it made him look slightly callous, and all of us wondering what on earth was going on.
And the bond market and sterling pay a price?
Yep. At the time, this was all going on, the bond market, as you say, went into a spin. Britain's borrowing costs went up. I think I heard this morning that the cost of Britain servicing its debt went up by £2 billion as the tears rolled down the Chancellor's face. And the reason the bond markets were worried was partly, of course, yes, it made it look chaotic. You know, it's not a great look to have the Chancellor weeping on the front bench. But also because the markets see Rachel Reeves as a bastion of fiscal discipline, someone who's a kind of a thin red line between them and the Labour left, who are unwilling to accept any big public spending cuts. So they want her to stay, but obviously they don't want her to stay if she's, you know, if she's grappling with these personal issues, which, as you heard there, we don't know quite what they might be.
So we're approximately a year on from Keir Starmer's lacklustre landslide. How much trouble are he and his government in at this stage?
Well, they're in a lot of trouble. Their opinion poll ratings have fallen more quickly than any newly elected government. Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer's own personal approval ratings have fallen sharply as well. They've done some good things. You know, Keir Starmer's done well on the international stage. He's negotiated some trade deals, handled Donald Trump quite well. Mm-hmm. But on the domestic front, that's the issue. People aren't feeling better off. And the problem is that after this U-turn this week on welfare reform, welfare cuts, we've got a very difficult autumn ahead, Rachel Reeves' budget, if she's still there, where we're likely to see a huge wave of new tax rises at a time when the economy is already very fragile. And in the end, as we all know, it's the economy that determines how people vote.
And this is the key question for Keir Starmer now, isn't it? Where he finds the $5 billion he needs to calm the markets, plug the fiscal hole, and where he gets the votes from his backbenchers who've had a taste of revolt.
That's the problem, because the big issue of this week, I think, is the sign that the parliamentary party has got control of the government and they're not willing to make difficult decisions on spending. And if you're not willing to do that and you've got a fiscal hole and the economy's not growing very fast, you either borrow more, and as we were just discussing, that's already costing the government an arm and a leg, or you have to put up taxes. And the Labour government promised in the manifesto it wouldn't put up income tax, VAT or national insurance. They're the three big tax levers. So they're really caught in a trap, and that may be one of the reasons why Rachel Reeves looked quite so distraught yesterday.
And will deputy heads roll here? For instance, there's a lot of speculation about the fate of Morgan McSweeney, Keir Starmer's chief of staff.
Yeah, Morgan McSweeney, the famous Cork man, running the government effectively. Look, there's plenty of blame to go around for what happened this week. Certainly Morgan McSweeney is part of it. Rachel Reeves is a big part of it. In the end, as Keir Starmer admitted in his interview with the BBC overnight, he carries the can. He's told his cabinet to lay off Morgan McSweeney this week. He said, I don't want to hear any briefing against Morgan McSweeney. Morgan McSweeney, I think, is someone that a lot of those people sitting around the cabinet table owe their jobs to. He masterminded the election campaign. He probably admits himself he's not the greatest political fixer or policy man. He's more of a campaigner. But for the time being, he's safe, yeah. I think.
It's not just Rachel Reeves' tears, though, is it? It's the Prime Minister himself. He's been striking a decidedly depressed tone and self-deprecating in some of his comments recently, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done a series of interviews to mark the first anniversary in power, which has sort of had a bit of a dog ate my homework kind of feel to them. The fact that he sort of complaining about the fact he spends an awful lot of time at international summits and then takes his eye off the ball on domestic affairs. I mean, to give you an example, he said in one of these interviews that the growing and massive backbench Labour rebellion on welfare reform was noises off. There were over 120 Labour MPs threatening to vote against the government. It was a massive rebellion, which he seemed to think was just a sort of minor distraction. So, yeah, I mean, he's often described as someone who's not particularly politically adept, someone who doesn't sort of strike big sort of pictures and optimistic notes and tells a big story about the country. That's his big problem, I think. The good thing is he's a fixer. He's someone who tries to fix things. But if things aren't being fixed, then what's left? Right. That's the problem.
All right, George, thank you for filling us in on that. George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times. And we'll be back with the business news after this break.